And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister and co-pilot, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about you?
I'm all right. And we're back into the swing of things here with The Office. Season 4, episodes 9 and 10 will be covered today.
Uh-huh.
What's that face?
I'm just so excited for today's episode.
Yeah. So before we jump into this week's episodes, why don't you tell the good people what we did last week?
Sure. So obviously we had our Christmas special, and then we went into Survivor Man and the Deposition.
We didn't like them. I know
no,
that.
No.
We thought they left a little to be desired.
Yeah, there was a little bit it was a dismal week.
Yeah.
We're just going to go ahead and say it.
And I don't think it's going to be much dismal. Different this week.
Really?
To an extent, yes. I'll get on to that later.
All right, we'll get
there. Ooh, teaser. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, so Survivor Man, basically Ryan invited the branch managers and Toby out to the woods, did not invite Michael, so Michael takes it upon himself to go into the Pennsylvania wilderness while Dwight is watching him, unbeknownst to Michael, to prove that he can go into the outdoors and be a man's man.
That he's a real man, yeah.
Which he miserably fails at. Also, Jim tries to make birthday month into birthday day and fails miserably.
Yeah, everybody has a problem with that.
Yeah. So then our next episode, The Deposition, find out that Jan is actually suing Dunder Mifflin for wrongful termination, and Michael must be deposed, which he basically screws it up. She throws out his own personal journal diary. And everybody reads it. Michael feels betrayed by Jan and sticks up for Dunder Mifflin and pretty much loses her $4 million.
Throws his girlfriend under the bus for that.
Yeah. So, and that's what you missed on Glee. And now we are moving on to season 4, episode 9, Dinner Party.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this episode, before we go, I will say, I feel like the majority of Office fans love it. They find it hilarious. There is a small wrong faction that say that it's not that good, but I am not part of the latter group.
I'm not in either camp because I am not an Office fan per se.
Okay.
So like I don't know what these divisions you speak of, that there's camps of individuals who hate
because
I don't know the episodes to have a thought on them.
That's strong of an opinion.
So like this is the first time that like, I probably watched this when it came out in 2007 or whatever, and I
2008.
Don't... 2008? I don't remember it. So I watched it, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers here, but I have a love-hate relationship with this episode. I liked certain aspects of it, and I loathed other aspects of it. And I want to clarify also off the bat, it's not because you built it up. Like, it wasn't an expectation thing at all.
Okay. Because
I figured that if you liked it so much... And, like, I read the, synopsis. I was like, okay, it's going to be cringy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already had that in my... Like, I knew what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I had an idea. But, yeah. I'm going to Lumberg this one. But you're going to cover this one.
Yes.
So, take it away.
So, I will take it away. So, our cold open. Everybody's in the office. And, like, Stanley and Phyllis are bitching. There's boxes and folders everywhere. And everybody's just pretty pissed off. So, apparently, corporate had dictated that there was mandatory overtime on a Friday night.
But there was no, special assignment to anybody.
Yeah.
It was just mandatory overtime.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, sales have to stay and do blah, blah, blah. It was everybody in the office. So now Michael walks up to Jim and he's like, hey, Jim, any plans for tonight? And Jim's like, no, because you specifically said there was overtime tonight, not to make plans. So then now Michael walks into his office and says that he's calling corporate. And
loudly.
He's like, listen, these people have lives. We're not doing this special project. And like makes it like he's getting everybody out of overtime.
Yeah, he's so fed up with corporate.
Yeah. He comes out and he's like, you know what, guys? I told them basically to screw off, go home and enjoy your Friday night. And Dwight's like, thanks, Michael. Everybody's like clapping for him. And it's like he's the hero.
Yeah.
So then he invites Jim and Pam over for dinner to celebrate. And as soon as Jim is about to say, oh, he goes, you said you didn't have plans.
Yeah, he calls him out.
And Jim has no escape at this point.
Yeah.
So then we have a talking head of Jim.
Michael outfoxed him.
Yo, so well.
Really funny.
And he's like, listen, he's invited us over for dinner at least 9 times. They've been able to get it out of it every single time. And he now believes there was no corporate assignment of overtime. So now, then we see everybody leaving, and Dwight asks Michael what time he's expected.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael breaks the news that it's couples only, and he only has 6 wine glasses anyway. And it's Michael, Jan, Jim, Pam, and Andy and Angela are coming.
Yep, yep.
Officially a couple.
And they're like, she's smiling. Like, when they flash the camera towards her, she's like, weird. Happy to do this.
Yeah, it's weird. Bizarre. So, that's our cold open.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was a long cold open.
I do want to point out something about Angela here.
Hmm.
She's openly with Andy.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she do that with Dwight?
I think
What makes the difference?
I think there was, from the onset of the relationship, essentially, Andy made it public in the office that he was...
By singing ABBA?
Yeah. That he was, you know, pursuing her.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think she just wanted to get back at Dwight and hurt him.
Okay.
And kind of rub it in his face.
Okay, because it seems like a big kind of...
It's a big U-turn. Jump because she was like, I don't want anybody in our business.
Yeah, and now she's happy to have it around. Yeah.
But I think it was more so like Andy made it public and she was just like, you know what? Yeah, I want to turn
She's
the
just
knife.
Being vindictive.
I want to turn the knife in Dwight's gut. Yeah. Let's do this. So, we flash to after the show proper, and Jan is answering the door, and it's Jim and Pam on the other side.
And they are out. Her boys.
Oh. I was like, who's out? No, Jan is on full display.
They are presented.
She is on full display. There is a silver platter underneath her chest. And so
they've become characters in their own right on this show, to be completely honest.
Absolutely.
With the way Michael treats them.
And so they welcome them in, and just right off the bat, Michael and Jan are calling each other babe.
They're like that waspy couple.
Yeah, like,
hey babe, oh my god, we're wearing sweaters and we're like having a dinner party, babe.
Oh my god, can we get matching sweater sets, babe? Yes. Like, that's what they're doing.
It's very obnoxious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pam's like, oh, hey, here, I brought some wine. And immediately Jan already swats her down. Oh, this will be great to cook with. And so then they're like, oh, all right, do you want to start the tour? So they go up. Now, we see the sliding glass door in the condo has a blue tarp over it.
Yeah, it's tarped over.
But then, did you notice the painting of Jan on the wall? The 4 squares with the different colors?
Yeah, the pop... Yeah. Painting, yeah.
So they move up to the first room, and it's Jan's office. And Michael comments that it's never been used.
Yeah.
And then they move to the second room, and it's Jan's workspace. And Pam points out, oh, you have a workspace and an office. And she's like, well, I can't work where I create, or I can't create where I conduct business. You know, you must feel the same way with your doodles.
Yeah.
Stab number 2.
Yeah, every chance she gets, she's like shooting on Pam.
Absolutely. And the workroom is the workspace is candles everywhere.
It looks like the stock room of a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like there's boxes everywhere.
Everywhere.
And there's a big banner in the corner that says Serenity by Jan.
So Jan has a candle making business.
Yeah.
And now she shows Jim a certain candle. He's like, oh, it smells like fire. She's like, bonfire. Bonfire. So, of course, this leads Michael to say, Bond, James Bond, Michael Scarn.
5 seconds of him doing a Sean Connery impression.
But, you can already tell that Jan's, pissed.
Yeah, she's
and
peeved.
And she's like, I just come up here when I'm angry or frustrated or annoyed. And I smell my candles and they all go away. And then they walk into the master bedroom and Jan's explaining how the walls were white, an asylum. Which is... so fucking fitting.
That she's seen the inside of one.
Yeah. But that is such a fitting comparison for what is to come in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So they painted an eggshell white, which Michael points out is the same thing as white. And then they show the bed and it has literally 20 throw pillows.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
Most of the bed is covered in throw pillows.
God.
And then as they move in... we see a camera on a tripod, and Jan's like, I thought you were going to clean up, honey. Did you notice something else in that shot?
No.
The Foreman Grill.
No, is it in the room
the
still?
The Foreman Grill is in the room.
I missed that. Oh, that's
so
great.
Michael still eats his bacon when he wakes up.
When he's curled up like a dog,
exactly.
As we find out.
Because they explain that Michael sleeps on the bench at the end of the bed because Jan has space issues. Mm-hmm. And he demonstrates just how he's able to fit on it.
It's,
because it's very short and very narrow.
Yeah, as Jim points out.
Yeah.
This whole thing is weird. And, like, it's funny weird.
Mm-hmm.
This part's funny weird. Because, like, I don't know, it's just funny that Jan has, like, space issues, but they're recording all of their sexual exploits. Like, she doesn't have that much of an issue.
Right. So then we move back down to the living room, and Michael, he's very proud of his plasma TV, which I think, what, is like 18 inches?
It's basically a Game Boy on the wall.
Yeah. Like, fucking... I'm pretty sure, like, the Wiis that kids play today are bigger than
it's
this.
It's so tiny.
But he's like, I finally splurged and bought myself a plasma. And he's explaining how much he loves his TV. He'll just stand there and watch TV for hours.
Oh, yeah. He's got a wall mount.
Yes.
So if you want to save space, and it just moves in, like, 3 inches.
So, then he explains that he made that table, which
is... Oh, my God.
It's basically 2x4s with, like, a square on top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it's, like, all mismatched.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the wood isn't even sanded. It's, like, all splintered
yeah.
and shit.
And, you know, Jim actually does try to be nice here, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's is that pine? Nordic cherry?
No, that's what Michael says.
Oh.
He says, is that... Chestnut.
Chestnut.
I almost said cheddar, and I stopped myself. I was like, that's a fucking cheese. Don't say it.
Yeah,
chestnut.
I'm sorry. Jim says, is it chestnut? And Michael says, pine or Nordic cherry, which are two completely different,
like,
colored woods.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's fucking Bob Vila or
yeah.
something.
And Jim is really just trying to be nice here.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, Michael, this is all over my head, like, blah, blah, blah. And Jan's like, really? Really, Jim? So then Pam jumps in. She's like, oh, he set up my TiVo for me, and I didn't get audio. So then Michael offers. He's like, I'm always just a phone call away, Pam.
Very nice. Very nice.
And yo, Jan gets this look on her face, and she's like, I bet you are.
Yeah, she's shooting daggers.
Really? That was awkward for a moment. So then Jim's like, oh, I'm surprised your Dundies are not prominently displayed. And they explain that it was basically a neon beer sign or the Dundies.
Yeah, they're over in the corner on, like, a shelf.
Yeah.
Like, on the bottom underneath, like, 3 shelves of her candles.
Yeah. And her candles are fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the whole house.
Everywhere you look, and you can tell very distinctly, they are Serenity by Jan candles.
There is something I noticed in this scene, and I don't know if they do this on purpose. Did you notice, like, their big window, like, what it looked like outside? You'd swear they were in Midtown Manhattan with all the lights and everything outside.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure they, like, tried to do this in a residential area.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes they try to make Scranton look like an actual city.
Like a metropolis?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they always try to make it. Like, later in this episode when they're on the road, they're driving around, I'm like, Scranton does not have that many cars on the road after 10 o'clock at night. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Scranton is it's like Reno, the biggest little city in the world. You know, it's like, it's just a mid-sized little city. It's not, like, bustling or anything.
No.
But, like, outside that window, you swear, like, they were, like, looking at Night Court or something. Like, it.
Oh, okay.
Like, downtown, you know, it's, no.
And the condos would not be downtown either.
No. And that, I don't know, it's just, like, a little thing I noticed.
Hmm. That was a good call out, though.
No, it's stupid.
All right. So, anyway. No, because I didn't notice it.
Oh, yeah. It's something like they do sometimes that I notice. I'm just like, I understand they record in, you know, L.A., which is the second biggest city in the country and that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a little fealty to the Scranton roots, you know?
So the doorbell rings, and it is Andy and Angela.
Andy is resplendent in his wraparound sweater.
Oh, my God, I know.
Looking like he's going to go on a yacht.
He's so fancy.
I love him.
So, but what we hear is, hey, we're so happy we can do this. It's basically like Jan and Michael
rehearsed it,
welcoming people into their homes. And it's funny, though, because you see Angela refuse to hug Michael.
Oh, yeah. And he's left, like, holding the bag.
Yeah, and then Andy, of course, walks in with his big bouquet of flowers, and he's like, tuna! We're having tuna for dinner.
He says tuna 15 fucking times.
He does. That was annoying.
This is the only time. I will say, this was one episode where I didn't mind Andy.
Yeah.
This was the only moment where it was, like, overbearing. It was oh, fuck, just stop saying tuna.
Exactly.
Please. But, like, other than that, he was good in this episode.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So, now Jan announces you know, she just has to start dinner. Like, should she do the tour or start dinner? And Pam offers to help. And Jan explains that everything's already done, but the osso buco needs to braise for 3 hours. Do you know what osso buco is?
I used to.
I don't.
Back when I cared. I don't care anymore,
Jesus
though.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's like, I don't know, it's a meat.
Yeah, it's here, some kind of roast.
You keep talking, I'm going to Google this.
All right, so it's some kind of roast, but it needs to braise for 3 more hours, which Pam and Jim kind of exchange a look like, from like 4 o'clock it needed to braise, from now?
That's hilarious, that part.
And Jan is like, well, you know, Pam, in Spain, they don't eat until midnight. And Michael says, when in Rome.
Of course.
So now everybody's in the living room. Like, they go and they do the tour with Angela and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
So now they go and do the living room, and Jan is sitting on Michael's lap. And they all have big, like, glasses of wine.
Except for Angela. Angela
is abstaining. Yes. And Michael makes a toast to, like, good friends, blah, blah, blah. And then they all cheers and they drink the wine, and Michael just goes, oh, it's got an oaky afterbirth. And Jim is just like, what? Like, excuse me? His eyes get really big. So then Jan's like, oh, maybe I should turn on some music. And she turns on this song. She goes, oh, my old assistant, Hunter, an artist.
Oh, there's so much here.
And as the song begins...
Well, she showed the CD. Did you notice what the title of the
Hunter.
Album? No, The Hunted.
Oh, The Hunted.
That's the name of the album.
Jesus Christ. The Hunted. So this song is essentially a Mrs. Robinson type of story.
Oh, this song is very much about Jan.
Yeah, you took me by the hand. You made me your man. That one night, you made everything go right. So raw, so right, all night, oh yeah. And Hunter is singing about Jan is like...
But he's very like...
Dancing, she's slapping her thighs, like...
He's very, God, what's the word? Like, it's heartfelt. Young. Took me by the hand! He puts that, like, guttural... Yeah.
Made me your man!
He gets those little, like,
that
whiny...
That one night!
Night! But the best part is that this, as Jan is swaying and singing, like...
She's slapping her thighs, yeah, her
and
hips,
singing
everything.
Along with this song, and Andy's over there, like, trying to hit harmonies.
Yeah, he's like...
It's fucking great.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And Michael's face the whole time is
he's
just
embarrassed.
Like, yeah, he is.
It's, like, you didn't think he could feel that emotion. But right? Michael, in this moment, feels embarrassed. It's funny.
Yep. So Michael is explains, like, Jan comes back and she's like, yeah, but Hunter was a terrible assistant. That's why Ryan fired him. And Jan makes another snap at Pam and goes, well, if he's as good as Pam, that's why it takes you all day to get back to me. And Angela fucking finally pipes up and she goes, sometimes I think she holds on to faxes. And Pam is just sitting there like, what the fuck?
She's the punching bag.
She is. So now they're playing charades. And Jan and Michael, I can't even go into detail about like what they're arguing and bickering about back and forth. Like, Michael's like, my turn.
Oh, yeah, she's just like, shut up. Like,
yeah,
that's
she's
annoying.
Like, yo, babe, yeah. Bring it down. Like, it's ridiculous.
That is after Andy says that...
Montana.
Instead of saying, like, 49ers quarterback, as Pam points out, he says, the state where Helena is the capital.
And
Joe Campbell.
Yeah.
This is fucking great.
Well, fuck.
But anyway, so Jan and Mike, like, start snipping at each other.
Yeah. And Jim, in a talking head in the bathroom, is like, listen, they're playing a game with each other of how uncomfortable can we make our guests. And they're both winning.
Yeah.
So now Jim is like, I'm getting out of this. So he fakes a phone call that says his apartment is flooding. Now, this, I have to say, is one of the only times I've ever seen Jim Halper be a dick to Pam.
Yeah, oh yeah,
because he's like,
was.
Oh, Pam, let's go. And Michael's like, it doesn't take two of you to do that. And he's like, oh, you're right, Pam, I'll see you at home. Like, completely abandoning her with no ride home.
Yeah.
This is before Uber and Lyft. Like, so she'd have had to call and wait for a taxi or go home with Andy and Angela. Like, my God.
Nah, that would have been a good episode.
Right? And Pam's like, you can buy new stuff, Jim, but you can't buy a new night with friends. And basically...
Yeah, Mike's like, oh, come on, you can look at your stuff later. Come on.
Yeah. So it's Michael's turn, and he's giving hints about... the hint is... Or the guess is Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, his name is Tom. And they're like, no names. He goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise. And Jan's like, Michael, you can't fucking do it. Like, stop it.
And that's when Jim guessed Dawson Creek. Dawson's Creek.
So Jim is purposely tanking all of the clues. Their time is up. And Michael's like, he's just pissed. They had Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's like, rhymes with Parnold Schwarzenegger. Like, terrible. So then we get another cut, and it's just silence.
Yeah, they're all just sitting in a circle quietly.
It's very awkward. And Pam is like, she's in a dress, and she's like rubbing her arms because they're freezing. So Michael stands up and gives her a sweater very nicely.
This is when the whole episode turns.
It implodes.
Yeah.
And Jan just glares at them. And she's like, you know, I'm so sorry it's so cold in here. Did I tell you about this sliding glass door? Why it's being replaced? And Michael's like, babe, I don't like that story. Like, babe. And it turns out that Michael thought he heard the ice cream truck, and he ran through a plate glass window.
Oh, it sounds so right. It sounds so right.
It absolutely does. So then he says, like, oh, sue me. It was just so, or I'm sorry. He says the glass was so clean, I didn't even see it. So then Jan says, oh, because it was covered in finger marks before I moved in, and I actually cleaned it. And he says, sue me. And then he's like, no, wait, don't sue me, because you love lawsuits. And Jan, in one of my favorite screen grabs from this entire episode, goes, oh, you're right, I'm the devil, and puts horns on herself.
And that's when Michael says my line of the episode, you're right, I'm in hell.
I'm burning.
And they're all like, they're trying to joke about it, but it's so true.
It's true.
Coming out, like, they're both miserable.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. But, like, I'm burning, I'm in hell. I'm the devil. So then Pam's like, is there more wine? And she's like trying to just get out of the room, essentially. Mm-hmm. So then Jan, which, I mean, I have been in like an awkward situation like this where like you try to leave the room and the person you're trying to escape,
they always latch onto you. Yeah, always.
Puts their arm around you like, no, let's go together. And it's like, fuck, God damn it. I was so close. So it's a girl's trip and they all go into the kitchen and somehow or another, I mean, there's a comment made about Michael taking a bath. And
Hold on. Before we get there. Asabuco? She checks the asabuco.
She does.
A specialty of Lombard cuisine of cross-cut veal shanks braised with vegetables, white wine, and broth. It is often garnished with gremolata and traditionally served with either risotto alla milanese or polenta, depending on the regional variation. The marrow in the hole in the bone, a prized delicacy, is the defining feature of the dish.
Huh.
There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you, Kevin.
Because she checks it again and says,
she does.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And that's when Pam looks at the camera like, what the fuck? I'm starving.
Seriously. So, let's see. Where was I? So then, like, I think it's Angela's like, oh, you keep a tidy home.
Yeah.
And, you know, she makes a comment about how Michael makes a mess when he takes a bath. And she's like, oh, Pam, I don't have to tell you. And Pam, like, not even thinking. She's like, oh, yeah. And then she's like, wait, what? So then it comes out that Michael told Jan that him and Pam dated.
I don't get this at all.
I mean,
I don't understand it.
I can understand now why she's been thrown dead.
No, I understand. Pam, yeah, that all makes sense. But, like, why would Michael say that?
Maybe to make her jealous.
I don't know. Like,
I work with her every day.
But he goes crazy for Jan. Like, he doesn't seem like the type who would do that. Like, this has no, like, basis in anything. Like, Michael is never, like, why would he make that?
Mikey.
That's so weird. Like,
yeah.
It's just, this is, like, didn't make any sense to me that he would tell Jan that.
Yeah, but then, so Pam is like, no, not now, not ever will I ever want to or have dated Michael. And Angela is just, like, feeding the flames of Jan's insanity. She's like, I've seen the way you look at him at the office. And Jan just, like she's drinking her wine, just glaring at Pam. Like, Jan has reached this point of insanity at this point in the episode.
She doesn't care anymore.
No, she does not give a flying fuck.
No.
So now we see the guys going into the garage. And Michael's got the hand chairs
in
there. And he says, grab a hand. Did you notice what the boxes in the office said behind the Bowflex?
No.
They all said Michael's dishes, Michael's clothes. They were all boxes labeled Michael's.
Just cleaned out.
So Jan moved in and moved all of his shit out into the garage. So basically, Michael's trying to pitch Andy and Jim to invest $10,000 in Serenity by Jan, the candles. And Andy's like, thought about it, agreed. And Jim calls him out. He's like, really? You're really trying to get us to invest in that? Mm-hmm. And Michael apologizes.
Yeah, he does. He's really sorry about it, actually.
And then the doorbell rings. And Michael's like, who the hell is that? Uh-huh. We walk out to Jan opening the door to Dwight and unnamed older woman.
Older woman. And, like, not just older woman, but, like, obviously a woman in her mid-60s.
Yeah, like, this is an old... When we say older woman, we don't mean 40. We mean she's almost retired.
She's definitely a grandma.
Yeah. But he's holding wine glasses. His hair is combed to the side. He has a picnic basket. He has a picnic basket, and the older woman is carrying a cooler from, like, the 50s. And Jan is pissed. She's like, Michael, what is he doing here? And Dwight's like, you said you didn't have enough wine glasses or a couple. I've got them and I brought somebody. And Michael explains, like, listen, Dwight's my friend. You said that he wasn't part of a couple. We didn't have enough wine glasses. They have both. And we should invite him in. And Jan's just like, you know what? Fine. We'll do what you want. Like always.
Oh, God.
And then we go into the Stomped versus Wicked. They saw what Jan wanted, which was Wicked. Then he goes, when you said you didn't want kids, who got a vasectomy?
Oh.
Michael got a vasectomy. And then he said, when you decided you wanted kids, who got the vasectomy reversed? And then when you decided you didn't want kids, who went and got it again? Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
Oh, God.
You have no idea the physical toll that 3 vasectomies can have on a person.
The butchering of the genitals.
Oh, my God.
You know, just thinking about them.
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Yeah, because, like, the way he made it sound, makes it sound so fucking gross. It really does.
Oh, my God. But then they show, like, Pam, Andy, Jim, Angela's,
like,
Angela.
Horrified. Angela doesn't want to hear
anything. Everybody else is just, like, stunned.
Yeah.
They're like, what is happening?
It's
right
a little
now?
Much.
And then Jan's like, I'm sorry. I don't want to bring a kid into this messed up world.
If you want to have a kid, let's have a fucking kid.
Yeah, let's have a fucking kid.
And they censor
it. And Michael's like, do you really want to have a kid? And she just goes, I hate my life and walks away.
This is brutal. This is absolutely brutal.
Oh, my God.
It really is.
Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snip. Sorry, guys. You gotta give me a second. This is my favorite.
I don't... It's gnarly. I just don't understand.
So we cut over and everybody's sitting at the table. Dwight is eating a turkey leg.
Yeah, he has like he's at a Renaissance fair. Yeah, he's got the fucking turkey leg.
But he's
leg.
Literally going like, this is a good turkey leg. Yeah. He's noticeably shorter because
they're sitting in camping chairs.
Yes!
Like the fold-out camping chairs.
Yes.
Oh, it's hilarious.
He then offers Angela some of his beet salad and she's like, I hate it. He goes, I've seen you eat it several times. His date even goes, it's quite good, actually. And Angela said, the thought of popping one of his beets into her mouth makes her want to vomit. Wow.
She hates being titillated, as we found out.
She does hate being titillated. So now dinner is served, and Michael leans over to Pam and says, I really hope she didn't do anything to the food. And he goes, I can't prove it, but I think she's trying to poison me. And, like, he's so honest.
Like, matter of fact about
yeah.
it. Yeah. Like he's
I
not...
can't prove it, but I think she is. And we get a talking out of Pam, and she's like, listen, I know Jan didn't do anything to the food. But if she did, whose plate do you think she would do something to? Me.
Michael's former lover.
Yeah, Michael's former lover. So now we cut back into the dining room, I guess. And Michael cuts his food up. Everybody's silently eating. And he dips his meat into his wine glass. And Jan just goes, can you not do that? It's disgusting. And Michael, mortified, goes, why would you say that? You know I have soft teeth. And the delivery by Jan Levinson on this line just, oops.
Yeah, she's a total bitch.
Oh, she did it on purpose. Yeah. But she, like, just... glaring like
she doesn't break eye contact. That's the important part.
Oh my God, I could feel the heat coming out of this performance, and I loved every second of it.
All right.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
So then Jim leans over to his Dwight's date And he asked how they know each other. And she said, oh, I was his babysitter. And he goes, you're his girlfriend now? And Dwight yells down, it's purely carnal. That's all you need to know.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
So awesome.
It's only physical between Dwight and his former babysitter. And Jim is like, I have so many questions. Do you have an email that you can give me? And she's like, what's email? Which explains, again,
She's down on the farm.
Yeah, it just explains so much. So then Michael gets up, and he leaves the room. And he comes back with a neon St. Pauli's Girl beer sign.
Yes.
Neon beer sign. He plugs it in.
He takes down Jan's painting.
Yes.
And puts that up.
And, I don't think I've said it enough how throughout the entire night, even through their bickering, they're saying, babe.
Oh, yeah.
Babe, honey. Yeah. Like, that is not pronounced enough in this episode.
Oh, it...
No, I mean by my reporting.
Oh, no, yeah, every sentence.
Every time, like, no matter if they're saying something that cuts right to the bone on each other, it's babe or honey the whole time. And Jan goes, hey, babe, why don't we take that down? We'll discuss it later. And Michael, nah, babe, I think we're going to keep it up. It really pulls the room together as he's dipping his meat into his wine glass and making a big noise of it. So then Jan walks over and turns on Hunter's song.
Yes.
And what now happens is such quick rapid fire.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Hunter sucks. And Jan says, at least he's an artist. And Michael says, BFD, I'm a screenwriter. She goes, well, I'm a candle maker, but you don't see me.
Bragging about it. And as she says that, she like shakes her cans.
Yeah, she does.
She's like this movement.
Oh my God. I don't... It's just ridiculous. And then he's like, you just wanted me to bring my rich friends to work on the moon. And she's like, as an investment opportunity.
When he says rich friends, I'm just like laughing. It's so funny.
And then he's like, I would love to burn your candles. And she goes, you burn it, you buy it. And he's like, fine, I'll be your first customer. Jan, you're hardly my first. Michael screams, that's what she said. And Jan runs over to the Dundies, picks it up, and throws it and smashes Michael's plasma TV screen.
Yep.
And he goes, that was $200. That was a $200 plasma TV, Jan. Good luck paying me back with your $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe.
Yeah, when he yells, babe, that I made sure to note that even though he's losing all control, and he snapped, he's still doing the babe shit.
It's like she's conditioned him. Yeah. Like, you need to say it no matter
what. It's Pavlovian.
Oh, my God. And Jan cries and runs out of the room. And everybody just kind of starts leaving.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave. They walk out of the condo and the police are there. And Dwight's like, I'll handle this. And they're like, Dwight, get out of the way.
Not Dwight.
Yeah, not now. So... And basically, they're like, oh, we got a noise complaint from some yelling. And Michael goes, yeah, there was screaming. Like, not yelling. No, there was screaming. And so, basically, the police say, like, sir, you need to stay somewhere else tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to go with Jim. And Jim mistakes and says, my apartment's on fire. Flooded. And so, Dwight stands up and he's like, Michael, you're coming home with me. And... it's just really sad, and Michael leaves with Dwight.
Because Jan comes out, and she's all like, babe, what is going on? Babe, what are you doing to him? What are you doing to him? Like, the cops are, like, beating him. You know? Jesus Christ.
So, Michael leaves with Dwight, and everybody else kind of just leaves, too. And Jan is there by herself in the condo.
Yep.
And so then we see Jim and Pam. They're at a burger's place. And, of course, now they're making fun of Michael and Jan. They're like, babe, this burger is so good, babe.
Oh, babe, yeah. Oh,
babe.
I know.
Babe, did I tell you?
Todd, Margo.
Yeah.
Bringing that back. They turn it into them again.
I don't know, Margo. And we find that Jim stole the Hunted CD.
Yes.
And he started playing it. And that's now the music that is cast over the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
And we see Michael driving with, well, Dwight driving Michael, and Michael is now hanging out of the window, yeah, letting like the Joker wind blow in his hair.
Like the Joker.
But, like, over this, you just hear Hunter going, "That one night, you made everything so right."
Oh, God.
And then we see Andy and Angela. They went out for ice cream. And Angela's actually, like, smiling.
Yeah.
And she's eating her ice cream, and Andy lunges at her and eats some of her ice cream.
Like, playfully.
Yeah,
like,
playfully.
Like, oh, I'm not going to eat your ice cream.
But, like, Angela's not having it. She rolls the window down slowly and just jams her ice cream cone into the car door.
And it slides down.
Lets it slide down and rolls the window up. And Andy's just like, what the fuck?
What does he get out of this?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? He nuzzles necks.
You know? literally nuzzle.
She vandalizes his car. Like, you have to wonder at one point, like, what does Andy actually... He's like Michael.
I think he's just so lonely. He's just taking anything.
So it's Michael to a lower degree.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So now we go back, and the camera's looking through windows blinds.
Creepy. I hate this creepy stuff.
And Jan is watching TV on the smashed plasma, and she's trying to super glue Michael's Dundee back together, mm-hmm. and it just falls apart, and you can tell she's falling apart.
Uh-huh.
Well, she has already fallen apart, let's be honest.
Symbolism.
Yes.
Heavy-handed as it is.
And then we see Dwight's lady friend, the babysitter, still unnamed.
At a bus stop.
He drops her off at a bus stop instead of driving her home.
No, she's there waiting when he's driving with Michael.
Oh, I thought... it looked to me that he had dropped her
off. No. Because she waves and he looks the other way.
Oh.
He doesn't even, like, give her the time of day. Jeez. And then they, like, pull out and the episode ends.
Yeah, Michael's asleep in the car.
Yep.
And that's how we end that episode.
Okay. Before we go any further,
mm-hmm.
did you think that this episode was funny?
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
You think this is funny?
I thought it was... The thing is that it's such a hyperbole of couples fighting and, like, the breakup in the end. Like, it's just so ridiculous. Soft teeth. Like, everything about it is just so ridiculous and overblown. And honestly, we... probably saw this coming after last week's episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Of Michael fucking Jan over.
And yeah, you know, it fits the whole narrative of, because, like, sometimes we talk about the pacing of how they do certain arcs in this mm-hmm. show. This one deserved to go out in a blaze of glory
exactly.
after like 8 episodes. This one was like bound for failure with
yeah.
two very
unstable
and like particles, you know?
Yeah,
like it wasn't meant for a long shelf life.
No.
And so, like, it makes sense. And see, the thing is, like, I'm watching this episode, and when you do something like this, okay, let's say it's a universal thing. So when we did the money episode a few weeks ago, that is a universal thing, economics, how it affects people's lives, and they used a very deft hand to talk about that and
yeah.
to make it funny and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that deft hand when you tackle other universal themes, such as romance.
And relationship imploding.
Yes. So most people, I'm not going to say everybody's ever gone through a breakup or anything like that. Everybody's probably had at least romantic disappointment, if not failure. You know, like, oh, that's the one that got away or something like that. Everybody has, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay, 99.5%. You never had, like, a guy in high school, you're like, I really like that guy, and he got away. Like, you for a week, you weren't like, oh, Rob.
No.
No? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, she's a unicorn. That's all there is to it. I don't know how else to say it. So, most people, like, they'll have a crush that gets away, or they'll have a relationship that ends, or blah, blah, blah. That happens. Breakups happen.
Yeah.
And I think this was, like, you got to thread a needle here where I like dark comedy. And
yeah.
this is like the basis of dark comedy.
Yeah.
I don't think they did it. Like, I didn't laugh that much. I really didn't. Like,
I think the laughter came from the reactions of everybody else at the dinner
party. I thought Pam was very unfunny in this episode. The more I watched, the more I'm like, Pam's not a funny character. Pam is like a reactionary character.
Yeah.
And her reactions in this episode weren't that funny.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I skipped it in my review, but, like, at one point...
The hostage video she did in the bathroom?
Yeah, when Jan was like, oh, it takes 3 hours for the ossobuco. She's like, I don't care what they say about me. I just want to eat, which isn't a lot to ask for at a dinner party.
Like, I don't know. Like, Pam, like, they made her, like... Okay, so when Dwight shows up, they just show Pam and everybody getting up.
She's like, yes.
She's like, this is awesome. It's like, we don't need those reactions. Like, just show people smiling. We don't need Pam to say what the audience is thinking.
Yeah.
Like, she's like,
well, the no, avatar. She just went, yes.
No, she goes, this is awesome. Oh, I made sure I noted, because they show them twice. The first time is the fist bump in the ass. The second time is awesome.
Okay.
Like, she, you know, it's just like, oh, whatever. Roll my eyes a bit. Like, Jim and Pam, no problem with in this episode.
Yeah.
Andy, except for the tuna ship, but that's who he is. Like, no problem. Angela does Angela stuff.
Yeah. Oh, but I did forget to mention when she first puts Hunter's CD on, she tries to dance with Jim, too.
Oh, yeah. And Jim just won't
stand up.
She's holding his arm while he sits
down. And she's,
down.
Like, twirling herself. Yeah.
Very odd. But, like, this is a thing where, like, it can be very funny. And I think, like, they just, they lean too far towards the side of cringy than funny.
Like, I thought this was perfection. Like,
perfection?
Yeah.
This episode left so much to be desired.
Oh my god, I laughed so hard this entire episode.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think
this is one of my favorite episodes. I think it's, I mean, every part of it makes me giggle.
This is something I think we're gonna probably knock heads on since we have four more seasons to go. But, like, cringy doesn't equal funny to me.
No, not all the time. There are cringy episodes in the future that I cannot physically sit through. It hurts me to sit through them.
Just because,
this, like, I
what's
feel
the difference,
like,
between this and them? How did they handle this differently to those other ones? What is different about them?
The one in the future, there's only really one in the future that I'm like, oh god, I don't want to even watch it for the channel.
Okay.
Like, for the podcast, I don't want to be the one to review it. That one, it's just, I feel like it was a more serious topic. And it touches more people.
A more serious topic than a public breakup? There's nothing sadder than a breakup. Like, we've all been there for our friends who have had, like, relationships shatter.
Yeah.
I think we've both been there with friends who have had that happen.
Yeah.
Is that not, like, the saddest thing in the world? And there's a way to make it funny, and I just don't think that this one, like, was too real. To the point where you're just like, you really were just like, oh, this
See,
is a
little
close.
See, I feel like them doing the, like, hey, babe. Like, that
Well, like,
whole
the fake thing.
Thing.
We all know the fake thing.
But that made me laugh. Like, that adds the comedy for me into it. Because you can tell, like,
because it's building up.
So
it's
hard.
Fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're covering up the wounds.
You'll hear our brother and his fiance. Like, our brother has a very dry sense of humor. And he'll go, like, hey, babe, can you do this for me? And she's just like, hey, babe, suck my tit. Like, suck my ass.
She
like,
never said, I never heard any either of those things. Thank God. Oh, see, I thought you were talking about our other brother. I thought
no.
you were talking about Oz.
No. No, the other brother.
I know. The
he
other
and
brother.
They do that, though.
Yeah,
like,
well, they do
like,
that sarcastically.
Hey, that's what I mean, though.
They weren't like, doing sarcastically. They were doing it as damaged people trying to cover up the cracks in their relationship. Like,
I just didn't
see
take it
was
it,
I was
didn't
I was,
see
I was
it as too close to reality.
I was
like, I feel like this is far enough from reality. Like, I can't see an actual couple doing this.
We've seen it. Let's pretend we haven't seen couples fight in public.
Fighting
it's the
in
worst
public
thing.
Is one thing, but like, this is like, so, like I said, it's such a hyperbole, and it's been building up. We've seen Jan slowly going insane since.
No,
like,
no. Oh, Jan is unstable. Okay, don't get me wrong. Like,
and Michael is not a smart dude. He's not a serious dude. We've seen that. These people were going to implode. This relationship was going to implode from the beginning.
But
we
it wasn't
knew it was
funny.
Going to happen.
It was just violence.
For you.
It was violence.
I don't
like,
think
I still.
It was
see, I think up until the point Michael snapped with the soft teeth and the neon sign.
That's what she said!
Like, up until that point, like, I was amused and entertained. I was like, oh, it's all right. Yeah, this is a solid ep. But, like, I don't know. Like, cops got involved. I don't know. Like, it wasn't that funny. Like, there was not one line or one thing in this that had me, like, busting a gut. Like, it was just, like, a moderate, like, ha-ha, for, like, and then, like, at the end, I was just like, wow, this ended on a real down. Maybe that's another thing, is that this ends on a totally down note. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you, like,
could,
I shut this, I watched,
spoil it for
I
you.
Watched it twice, and each time I shut it off, I was like, that sucks. Like, that's
a
bummer.
I could understand that being like a
there's no
down
reason
point.
A comedy show should end on downers like that, though. Like, without, like, that, like, there's no hope at the end of this episode. Michael's passed out in Dwight's T-Bird. Fucking Jan is literally, like, imploding on herself like a black star.
Yeah.
Angela is vandalizing Andy's car. And, like, Jim and Pam are just being their sarcastic selves. Like, there's no, like,
happiness. That would be me and my husband, though.
There's no glimmer at the end of this episode, though. It's
that
just like...
one night.
Oh. Like, the song was funny. But, like, I don't know. When it ended, I was just, like, empty. I was just like, this was, like... Like I said, it wasn't your expectations that built it up either. Like, it wasn't me going in and being totally undercut by that. Because, like, I know we have different views of, like, what we enjoy in that.
Obviously.
So, like, if you enjoy something, you enjoy it. Like,
No, I'm not moving from a 5 this one.
I'm not asking you to. You think it's 5. I gave it a 3.4, which is still better than average.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, trash like we're about to get to. I'm just gonna throw that out. I got stuck once again. I get stuck with the shit episode of our duo here. But I mean, do you want to add anything else about this?
I just, you know,
another thing. I'm sorry to cut this off. Another thing is
to cut you off.
Another thing that kind of bummed me out is the lack. So this Pam, Jim, Andy, Dwight, and Angela were all there.
Yeah.
None of them played any role in any of this. This was basically a two-person playlet. This was Jan and Michael, and the other ones just kind of had a line here or a line there. It was all just the two of them going at it. I think the lack of, like, there was no B storyline in this episode. Yeah. I think the lack of anything else going on, that you were just focused on this, like, I think you needed a break at one point because it was all just in your face, in your face, in your face, and weighed down on me. I think that's kind of another thing that I took into account, was just like, it was heavy and it didn't, there was no lightheartedness in it. And it was just like,
for me,
it was like eating all steak without the broccoli. You know?
Breaking me off again. So anyway, for me, I really like, just even from the offset, like, I loved how the cold open ran into it. Like, it set it up for the whole
show. Oh, yeah. It wasn't one of those ones they do when it's just a totally random, separate, like, vignette. Yeah.
So, like, even from the offset, as soon as Jim and Pam got there, Jan throwing those daggers at Pam. Mm-hmm. Like, and I felt like with every scene, we had a Michael and Jan argument and then daggers at Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, I really enjoyed that.
The build up.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the build up. I thought it was funny. I think Pam kind of got some comeuppance in this episode.
Pam?
Yeah.
Just for you something she didn't do?
You and your doodles.
Yeah. See, like, it was its own brand of lunacy. It's just not one
It was absolute insanity.
Yeah, it was just not one that appealed to me when I watched it the few times I did. That's all.
I mean,
I'm still better than average.
I'm a hard person. Maybe I'm a bad person. But watching Jan have a meltdown and implode completely was very satisfying to me.
If you say so. It wasn't dissatisfying. Like I said, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was just, like, watching it, I'm just like, this is not one of the higher echelon shows that they've done, I don't think.
I thought so. I think it was just so ridiculous. Like I said, for me...
No, it is. It's extra.
For me, it was so ridiculous and so out there that that's what made it really funny for me and what, I guess, kind of removed me from the reality of it. Like, and again, like, I've never had an actual breakup like that, so I didn't have any personal
All breakups are like that.
Well, no, but I've, like, never had a personal, like, I didn't have a tie to
you
it.
You didn't have a high school sweetheart who moved to college or anything like that,
That shit didn't affect me.
You just dated the same guy for 13 years, young.
It's been 10 years.
Marriage.
Yeah. Thank you very much. But, so, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any personal stake in it, I guess.
Well,
stake. No, no, but it didn't have, like, a sore spot that it hit me on.
No, it's not even that. It's just, like I said, it's a deft hand to, when you're going to tackle a topic, certain ones. Like, when you're going to show, like, basically domestic violence, it came right up to that edge.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If you're going to go there, I think you could be a little more, either it had to be more outlandish.
I could never see Michael doing anything.
No,
like
no, I'm
that.
Not talking about. I'm talking about Jan.
Oh yes,
like she could have fired that trophy at his head. Like that's what I'm saying. Like if you're gonna go there, it either has to be more outlandish, or you needed like palate cleansers, like a B storyline with Kevin or something, or Creed, like Creed creeping around the neighborhood. I don't fucking know, like something like that, like in between the certain like little arguments that built up over the night. That's going up on Twitter, that
yes,
pic.
Yes, it is.
And again, the boys are prominently
presented. Oh my god, they're like on her collarbones.
They're up high.
Wow. Sorry, guys. That's
she's showing me the pic that she's
gonna... my screen grab. I told you, it's a very good screen grab.
Each week we have one, and she waits 4 days after the episode's posted to post them. So, but anyway.
That's all I got. That's all she wrote.
I think that was a good dialogue about that episode, actually. All
right, guys. Now, we're going into halftime, and then we have episode 10, Chair Model, which the dude is going to cover.
Right after this. Back here at our halftime intermission portion of the show. This is the part of the show where Mary and I put ourselves over as well
as our partners at Place to Be Nation.
Yes. So right now I'm going to tell you what's going on over there. They have plenty of great content for you right here at the Place to Be Nation pop feed, including the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. That is a mouthful. That's what she said. DC 4U, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are all going back through the history of Marvel Comics. That sounds like a laborious undertaking. I love that. That was a great interjection. Laugh In Theater, a live watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton. The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast. Oh, God, I don't even know. All right. The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of arguments on topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler. His family and friends. This week in the NFL, Cowboy and D'Amato take you through recaps and previews of each week of the NFL season. The NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world for in-depth conversations. Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Now, a theme park focused podcast. You're a Disney fan, right?
I am.
What's so great about Disney?
Dude, I can't even explain it to you. I just went for the first time when Oz filled in on the podcast.
Ah, yes.
I have Disney fever. I want to start planning my next trip. And it's not even like, I can't wait to go on this ride or this ride. And I said to my husband, I was like, just being there, like, I don't think I was unhappy.
Well, it's the happiest place on
earth. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, just being there to walk around. Like, that's what I want to do. I'll pay $100 to walk
around. To walk around and eat pretzels.
Yeah. Shaped like Mickey.
Are the pretzels keto?
Fuck no.
Looking Forward, Looking Back. Pop Culture, hosted by Andy Atherton, and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back. Sports, hosted by The Cowboy. Each look ahead to upcoming seasons and events, as well as looks back at recently finished ones. Plus, special topical podcasts and podblasts like Pop Go to the Movies, Pop Goes the Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch.
Good also, for you.
I'm trying so hard. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Ginny and the Gyms, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. Subscribe today! And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Ginny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of geek and sassy, talk and pop, freak out driving, telling stories, and more. Did I wake up Achilles?
A little bit.
Achilles is here this week. On our social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening play-in round. There will be 4 matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. And it is with great disappointment. I tried getting people to back my two dads in the vote against Coach, but Coach Hayden Fox was just too much to overcome, and my two dads flailed about like a bunch of
Oh, it was like a fish on land.
Yeah, it was a bloodletting.
Yeah, it was dead.
Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler today.
No, you can't.
Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it will take you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Finally, for information on joining GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever Project, visit our social media pages, as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due 12/31/19. I got to do mine, because it's getting late. Actually, yeah, this is airing after the new year, actually.
Yep.
So, yes, my list is in. Hogan Andre. But anyway, we're putting over Place to Be Nation. Mary, why don't you put us over?
Absolutely, Kevin. So, guys, as you've heard us talk about right before halftime, how we grab pictures from our... That sounds stupid. But we do screen grabs, essentially, from the episodes that we watch. And I try to pick out my favorite ones, and those are the ones we post. But where we post them, Kevin? On our Twitter.
At Twitter.
We post them on our page at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. And guys, if you're feeling a little funky.
Froggy.
Send us an email. We have our email, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
We'd be happy to read it on the air and like answer you in real time.
Absolutely.
If you'd like to hear us discuss your email. And, you know, have typos, that's fine, because as you can see, I do verbal typos. Exactly. Where I can't say words like, butler!
Kevin's foot is in his mouth.
Yeah. You're going to, all right, anyway.
I was going a different direction I know,
we're keeping it clean. Yeah, as we're like, fuck this, son of a bitch, cocksucker, fuck. Anyway, we don't say that word. We have a big post-it note on the desk here. No, that word. No.
See you next Tuesday.
Yes. So... I think we put ourselves over. You know, reach out to the show. Share us around. We would greatly appreciate it.
Always do, guys.
We love our listeners and our subscribers and our fans. We thank you for the support.
And we're starting off 2020.
Yeah, and we're in our second calendar year.
We are.
Who would have thought? I didn't think. Oz told us he didn't think we'd make it past like 15 episodes.
Wow. That vote of confidence from our little brother.
I know. We're he's over so 30 great. Now, man. Over woo-hoo! 30.
And... we are kind of on a timetable now because The Office will be leaving Netflix January of next year.
We're going to have to do some cramming here, I think. Because, I mean, in 7 months it's
going
to be 8 months, we're going to do 4 seasons. So I think we can do it. I'm not positive, but...
I don't know, because wasn't the
we might have to do, like, multiple shows per week.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't the first season only, like, 6 episodes?
Yeah, so we're definitely... We also skipped some weeks in 2019 due to vacations and things like that.
Yeah, we did. We won't be able to do that.
No, I think we're definitely going to be more of a crack team in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We're on it. Yeah. But guys, again, reach out to us at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. We like having fun.
And that brings us to the second half of the show now, where we are covering The Office Season 4, Episode 10, Chair Model. And before we get into this, I'm just going to say this was a revolting episode. I hated it. I'm not revolting.
Wow, that was pretty strong.
Man. I hated this. I'm going to just tell you guys right now, I gave it the lowest rating I've given an episode yet. I hated this. I watched it multiple times. I don't get it. We'll talk about it, but...
it was just weird.
It wasn't even weird, it was stupid. It was just dumb, and... okay.
It was such a bad follow-up to the dinner party. I think they could have gone in so many different directions with Michael and Jan breaking up.
No, and they went like... Michael's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's just get into it and get it over with. So, cold open. There's no parking because WB Jones, which is
another business in the office.
Yeah, it's like
park.
A cooling and heating business.
Yeah.
They're renovating their offices, so there's a bunch of, like... construction vehicles and trucks and shit blocking it. So Pam and Jim are doing a talking head on the sidewalk where they said they enjoy the walk and they see things like junkyard dogs eating rotisserie chickens. But like Andy and Oscar hate it. They're like kvetching about it. Yeah. And Kevin is on like the curb like, I hate this. Yeah, he's like holding his feet. He's got blisters. He's like, I can't do this. I will quit.
Yeah.
And that's the cold open. So not even an inspired cold open as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, it does set up the rest of the episode.
It does. Somewhat. It sets up the B plot, which is the only redeeming thing about this episode. Yeah. So we open up the show proper. Michael is in his office with a catalog to pick a new office chair. And Pam does a talking head where she says he's been picking a new chair for 3 weeks. Ugh. And she gets his old one. So she's excited about that. Mm-hmm. So he's enamored with the chair model in this one picture. It's a woman. She's a brunette, blue eyes.
She's pretty.
Fetching, as the kids say.
She's a Wilkes-Barre 8.
She's a Wilkes-Barre 9, are you kidding? So Michael says to Pam, because she's in his office now, "Remember after my dinner party I said I was swearing off women? I think I meant one woman, Jan." So he does a talking head now where he says he's happy and optimistic now that he's single because he is desperate. And desperation brings the quickest results.
Oh, God.
So he goes out to the main office.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, it doesn't. Like, he didn't say it means good results.
Yeah. So
he goes out to the main office and tells everyone to turn to page 85 of their catalog. And
does everybody have a copy of this catalog?
They must, because, like, I guess they can order office supplies from it and that.
I guess.
So Creed calls Pam at reception, yeah. And he's like, "Is this about the chair? Did he pick a new chair?" And she goes, "No." And Creed's like, "God damn it."
Yeah.
So they do a talking head of him where he says, "When Michael gets a new chair, Pam gets his, and then I get Pam's old chair, which means I have two chairs, only one to go."
Yeah. What is going on there?
Got some kind of grand plan.
He does.
So Mike announces that he is on the market and to use the model in the chair as a template to hook him up with any available people they may know. So now Michael is sitting on the couch. Kevin is, like, icing his feet from the walk. And he's, like, asking Kevin about, like, available women he may know or whatever. And Kevin tells him, like, him and his fiance Stacy had a bitter breakup. And, like, he's looking, too. And, like, Mike is a dick. And he's like, "Oh, does she have any friends you could hook me up with? Or, you know, you don't deserve her." And he's just like a dick. He doesn't care about Kevin.
Doesn't he say, like, "Oh, what is her number?"
Yeah.
Like,
he's an asshole. And so then Michael's just trolling for ass here. He goes over to Oscar, who he refers to as Oscar Mayer Wiener Lover.
Oh, my God.
And he asks if he knows any women who won't go with Oscar because of his condition.
Who won't? No, I love how he's like, you must have, like, a list of women who aren't afraid of you or intimidated because they know you'll never try anything with them.
With your condition.
Yeah, with, like, your condition.
Like, gay is a condition.
Good God.
So then Phyllis tries to match him up with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's feisty, and she plays softball.
She's a professional softball player, which I don't think is real. No. But
yeah, it is. There's a real. There's leagues. Yeah.
Wow.
No, okay. Believe it or not, it's not very successful, I don't think. But yeah, Michael starts going. He's like, "Well, how big is she? Like, what's he say?" He's like, "The two of us, if I want to take her on a rowboat ride."
Yeah, could we share a rowboat? And she's like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "Can a standard rowboat fit her in it without capsizing?"
And, like, there's silence and they're just staring at each other.
He's like, "I don't like that you're not answering my question."
And she goes, "No, she can't fit in a rowboat." She's all pissed off.
Yeah.
So Michael, again, I think this just reinforces his shallowness.
Yeah.
It's all about looks with him. Like, he went with the looks with Jan and it bit him in the ass and he still doesn't, like, get that lesson.
Well, doesn't he say, like, "Listen, guys, I want to have kids when I..."
Oh, that's coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, like, this is when he freaks out, and he says that he's a catch, and he tells everyone he needs their help because he wants kids, and he needs to find love and get laid.
Yeah.
And he tells everyone to write down a name of a single woman that they know for him.
I do love how he goes, "I am a catch, and I will not be the one that got away."
He's convinced he's the one that got away. So, Kevin and Andy go into Michael's office to complain about the parking situation, but he doesn't care because he has his own spot. And he pretty much tells them to figure it out, and, like, he just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, "I could help, but I won't."
Yeah, I'm busy. So now in the break room, everybody's, like, talking. Like, Phyllis is sticking with her fat friend to put on the card. And
Stanley says he doesn't hate anybody enough.
And Jim puts Pam's mom on the card.
Yeah, who's married?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, Pam's mom is the one who came in, like, "Oh, where's Jim?" Right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was a while back. Now, that was in season one, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So
she was still with Roy. Roy came in with his Cosby sweater.
Finger guns. So Michael calls Kevin's lead. He has Kevin's index card. He says, "Hot juicy redhead." Yeah.
Yep.
And he calls it, and it turns out to be a Wendy's restaurant. I love it because he's like, "Damn it, Kevin." He knows he's been had. So this is when Dwight enters with his card, and it just says, "Chair model."
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Michael, like, You deserve the best. Don't settle. I will find her and she will bear your fruit.
Ugh.
That's the quote.
God. So I swear on my life she'll bear your fruit. Or
yeah, there is no break here. He just gets off a phone, goes back into Michael's office. He called the magazine, got the ad agency, who then gave him the photographer, and Dwight's quote, a Spaniard.
Yeah, a Spaniard.
Who used a Wilkes-Barre modeling agency, and she died in a car accident.
Yep. So well, he did no, all the... he gave her address.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
142 South Windsor Lane, which doesn't exist, but 142 Windsor Drive does in Lake Ariel.
Which is a drive away.
Yeah.
So it's a fake address in Wilkes-Barre. All right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And she died in a car accident. She's dead.
Blunt force trauma.
Yes. So Michael, he tells Michael, and Michael goes out to the main office. He gets all sad, he knew her. He's sitting there.
And they call him out, and they're Jim's like, you didn't know her.
Yeah, Jim's like, you didn't know her. And he's like, why would you say that, Jim? And, even Pam, he looks over at Pam, and Pam, mocking him, shaking her head. Why would you say that? And that's when Pam doesn't want to see Michael look like this anymore.
No, she can't stand him anymore.
Yeah, because he's a sulking piece of shit. So she gives him her card, and Michael's the best. He goes, "What's her name? Burger King."
Yeah,
which is actually pretty funny. And it turns out it's Pam's landlady, Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's she's sweet. I swear to God, I heard the fucking word "sweet" 80 times in this episode.
Tuna.
Oh, she keeps describing her as sweet. And that she might actually get along with Michael.
Hmm.
So we go into the break room where Michael is using a Sonicare toothbrush to brush his teeth. You're yawning. Because this episode there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's in first gear the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
Michael's brushing his teeth while Kevin urges him to get the five families together to figure out this parking issue. And Michael says no. And Kevin says he's going to do it anyway. Yeah, I'm going to assemble this meeting. So Kevin does a talking head where he describes the five families are the five heads of the Scranton Business Park.
God.
And the I love
Paul.
This fucking scene is hilarious because he goes, Michael Scott, Dunder Mifflin. It's a picture. It looks like Michael sat on a thumbtack.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration. It's this grainy video. And it says courtesy Vance Refrigeration. Paul Faust. It's just a still shot of this guy on a motorcycle wearing a blazer. And then Paul Faust of... He's the president of Disaster Kits Limited. They call him Cool Guy Paul.
Yeah.
Then there's W.B. Jones, a grade A badass.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Bill Kress of Bill Kress Tool and Die. He's very old and very mean.
Yep.
He looks like Orville Redenbacher, kind of. So we cut away. Michael is now in a coffee shop waiting for his date.
His date.
And do you know, he has a rose in his lapel?
Uh-huh.
Or something, you know?
I think that's one of the symbols.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
You won't.
But I love how he's oh, she's brunette, has blue eyes, wearing jeans and a black top.
Yes.
Oh, I think we have our lady. And it's a blonde with a dress on.
Like a yellow dress and a white top. And he goes, she gets a 10 for looks and a 3 for describing herself. So the woman walks by and he turns into Frasier. Hello, m'lady. And she just walks by and ignores him. So then this woman comes in, and I mean, she's just an average 40-year-old, 45-year-old woman.
She looks she's late 30s to mid-40s.
Yeah, just an average woman, nothing bad.
Yeah.
And she's like, hi, are you Michael Scott? And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was supposed to meet somebody here. I thought you might be him. And then the barista gets up there with the order, Mike, Michael? And it's a large hot chocolate with peppermint and whipped cream, I think it was. And Michael's having this stare down. He's just staring at the woman, refusing to grab his drink. As the barista's looking at him, calling his name. So it fades into him. They're sitting together. And Michael's not even looking at her. He has his hand over his eyes. Trying to make conversation about rent checks. But then it cuts and they're having this. He's burying his soul in the next scene. Where he's talking about how he wants to be with someone sweet who he should share things with, experiences of life, and why are things so hard for people like us? And she looks hopeful. She's like, wow, he's seems like a really nice guy. That's what I want out of life, you know?
And, oh, see, I saw this scene as him saying it to her this is what I'm looking for, not that you're it, but this is what I'm looking for.
Oh, that's what he's saying, but she thinks because of the way he's saying it to her, that she's oh, wow, he's a nice guy. And That's when Michael pulls out a pic of Jan on his phone. He's like, this is what I left. Look at this. Yeah. You should see her tits. Like, what does it say, tits? You
see her from here down.
Yeah. And, like, he's making her feel bad. And, like, she looks down at herself. At one yeah. She, like, closes her shirt a little bit.
But he's like, yeah, but she was, like, crazy. Or
manipulative.
Said, yeah. And then all you hear is, Michael? He dials Jan.
Yeah, he actually dialed her. And he, like, hangs up. So then Michael, like, she's like, well, I should get going. He goes, oh, this was a really enjoyable talk. I had a good time. It was like talking to the sweet old lady on the bus. God. And what does she say, Maribor?
I don't know, Kevin.
She just goes, that was incredibly rude.
Yeah.
And then Michael just goes, and now you ruined it, and walks away and just leaves.
He's terrible. No, like, redeeming qualities in this episode. I couldn't stand this episode.
Yeah. So we go back to the business park, and the five families are meeting in the office.
God.
And Kevin basically just blurts out, like, we want all of our...
We want our spots back.
We want our parking spots back, because we have to walk really far. It's like half a mile.
Some of us are really sweaty.
And, like, W.B. Jones.
He's just like, God.
I keep wanting to say W.B. Mason. But W.B. Jones, he's like this short temper. He's like, guys, let's wrap. Why are we bothering with it? Like, he's all pissed off. And cool guy Paul just says... Let them have their spots back. And he goes, okay. And it's all over. Fine. It's all over. They get up and leave.
Yep.
But then Kevin does a talking head, and he's kind of emotional. He says, things haven't gone well since Stacy left, and it's just nice to win one.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, this is the most endearing someone's been in weeks on this show. Like, honestly.
Poor Kevin.
So Michael comes back to the office, and he, like, kind of lets Pam have it. Margaret, the landlady, you know. And he tells Pam that he wants a passionate affair. And he goes into his office. Of course, Dwight, like, falls and shuts the door like a little bitch. And so Jim goes over to Pam, and they joke that she's going to get kicked out of her apartment. And Jim says, well, you could move in with me. Like, he's, like, being smooth Jim.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, if, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Kind of, he's kind of, like, that's kind of his way of saying, hey, we can move in. And she pretty much says, like, I'm not going to move in with anybody unless I'm engaged to them.
Yeah.
And that's when Jim's kind of like, well, it's coming, Beasley.
Yeah.
It's
going to kick. Oh, I haven't done that yet?
Yeah. And, yeah. He's like trying to play it off. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, they're just like, it's like they're flirting again.
You can tell
again.
They're joking around.
But they're not.
It. He's not.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, it's coming and it's gonna kick your ass, Beasley.
Yep.
And then he does a talking head where he shows off the ring. And he got it 1 week after they started dating.
Aww.
Jim and Pam.
I love Jim and Pam.
So Mike and Dwight are in his office with their feet kicked up.
This, I feel like, is where this episode went down bad road and then took a left onto, like, horrible.
Stupid. Yeah. I wouldn't even say horrible. It wasn't even in bad taste. It was just stupid. So Dwight, they're in the office, and Dwight tells Mike that he needs closure. And they get up and leave. So you're like, oh, he's going to go see Jan or whatever. Nope. Swerve.
Nope.
Well, Kevin and Andy walk into the office now. And as Kevin says, we did it. Andy goes, I did it.
Yeah.
And
dick.
They celebrate getting their spot, their parking spaces back. Now this, okay. Remember how last episode I said Andy was actually, like, pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
This talking head is just too much. This is too much. Because he's talking about how he did it for Joe Sixpack. The guy with the apartment who's paying his mortgage. The guy who wants to fill his car with oil. The guy who has orphanage bills to pay for his kid. This guy went to an Ivy League school. Like, that's just, like, too much. Like, this is, like, borderline. Like, this guy should be wearing a dunce cap.
Yeah.
Like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's too much, right?
No, I completely agree.
Okay, because, like, I just, like lost brain cells listening
to
it.
You're not that out of touch, dude. You work in a white-collar job at a mid-range paper
in Scranton.
In Scranton, Pennsylvania.
It made...
And you were in Stamford, Connecticut before this, please.
It made Adam Sandler's mid-90s comedy seem like...
Oh, stop.
Oh, dude, he got that door. Oh, it made that seem highbrow. Jesus, like, the how stupid Christ. That talking head was. So Mike and Dwight are in a cemetery. And God, Dwight is playing hopscotch on the headstones.
My God, I didn't notice that. Yeah, oh, my God.
If you notice, he's, like, jumping from one to the next. It's actually pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
That is one of the funny parts. So then Mike, like, they come up to Debbie, what's her name? Debbie Shalansky?
Something
very Polish.
Very Polish. I couldn't even pronounce
it. It's chair girl, chair model's
it's
grave.
It's a chair model, yeah.
Yeah. And Mike is like, she was so innocent. And Dwight, she was stoned, apparently, when she crashed into the side of an airplane hangar.
Yeah.
An airplane hangar?
There's only one airport in the area.
I know, but, like, the fact that she was, like, stone driving around the tarmac, like, it's fucking hilarious. So, Pam and Jim, we go back, and they're walking to their car down the
down the street.
And Jim, like, gets down. He fakes a proposal, but he's actually just tying his shoe. And Pam's like, I hate you. And, like, they're, like, they hold hands and, like, oh, you thought I was going to propose. Jim and Pam. Oh, my God. And we go back to the cemetery where Mike starts singing American Pie, his own version for the model.
Why'd you have to go off and die?
Yep. And there is a time lapse where it's now night because this song is 50 fucking minutes long. And I think they're on what I think is the 30th verse. And they're singing and they're dancing all garbled. They don't know the actual words.
Neither of them. No. They're both on different verses.
And they just end with, this will be the day that I die. And that's the end of the episode. Yep. This episode was ass, it was trash, it was garbage, it was worse than filler, because at least filler is replacement level. This was actively bad. This never got out of first gear. This episode was insulting. It was... Okay, I will say this. Even though I didn't like the last episode as much as you did, I know that it's a milestone, and it's a very important episode, and a lot of shit happened. Mm-hmm. And there was... This is the rebound off that, and it's trash. There is nothing here. It is garbage. Yeah. The only redeeming quality or factor about this show is the Kevin beeline.
Yeah.
Where we actually have a feel good moment for the first time in like 3 fucking weeks on the show. And like the Five Family stuff was funny. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the beeline.
And that's about it. Everything else, like maybe a sight gag like Dwight hopscotching on the tombs.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like there's nothing. This is garbage. I did like
the Can We Share a Rowboat? That skit, like that little part. But
this was season overall, 1 Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Like where you overall, just don't like him.
It wasn't.
There was nothing like to like about this episode.
But they could have gone a different, like what makes me
They could have gone a million different directions.
Yeah, like to rebound off of Dinner Party. All right, Michael is now single. Jan is no longer in the picture. They could have done so much, and they just went the wrong way.
This is the first time that I finished an episode, and I was actively angry.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, I felt, bored. For the first time in this podcast, we've been doing this for months and months. Yeah. We've watched, like, let's say this is episode 31 or whatever, this is 60 plus episodes into this. This is the first time where I was just like, this is a waste of my time. I hated this.
Yeah.
I gave it a 1.8. Just for the Kevin stuff and, like, some of the Dwight stuff. The Jim Pam thing, okay, you're moving that along. Oh, we got that to look forward to. Okay. But that didn't happen in this episode. You just got a little crumb of it.
Yeah.
And, like, the Michael stuff was just stupid. It, like...
I gave it a 2.4, but it kind of gets a 2.0 for just signing your name to the SATs.
Like, this makes me... God. It makes you realize that,
it
like...
It left me very bored, this episode. Like, yeah. I felt like... I could put this on, and this could literally just be background noise so I don't feel so lonely working from home all day.
This is something I would put in my ears as I'm falling to sleep.
Yeah.
It was droning. It was... Michael... Okay, this is the thing. When they do shows like this, because they, you know how they do the shows where you're like, oh, Michael, you root for him? Mm-hmm. Then they do shows like this where you fucking hate him. You like, it makes the good shows less believable. Yeah. Or less consistent or with like the character. Not even
Survivor
consistent.
Survivor Man, where at the end he was like a normal person.
Yeah, and like something like this is not consistent with that kind of character, unless the man is a legit psychopath.
Yeah,
and like, I understand it's a show. I understand it's a comedy. This was not a funny episode. It didn't really do anything that we didn't know. We know Michael Shallow.
Yeah,
that's and we know that he wants to have kids one day. Like it just reinforced shit we already know in a way that wasn't funny. Yeah. Or productive in any way with the rest of the shows that we've seen. Like,
yeah.
It was just a total misfire, a total botch. And
which
like,
sucks because Dinner Party was great.
This season started off, like, the end of season 3, the beginning of season 4, I'm like, fuck, they're going to hit a sweet spot for a while. These last few weeks have been trying.
Survivor Man and The Deposition had their funny moments, but they weren't overall, like, and not all of them can be great. We understand that.
And I liked the last one, The Dinner Party. I liked it. I had my problems with it, but I understood it.
I feel like this is the weakest episode in season 4.
This is the weakest episode I've seen.
So far.
This is bad. This is garbage. Like, I don't want... What do we got next week?
Next week, we have Night Out.
No idea.
And Did I Stutter?
Okay, well, I know that line, I know who delivers it, and I know how they deliver it.
Which is what I was trying to mask when I said it, but it's kind of difficult.
So I know where that one's going, so I think I might like that one.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, add some more to this, because it was basically 8 minutes of me just bitching right now.
No, I mean, it's the truth, though, and I think we can see just how much you and I compare and contrast, because as much as we disagreed on the dinner last party, one, yeah. This one, I was bored.
What did you give it? Did you give a grade?
Yeah, I gave it a 2.4. Oh, but like I said, okay. I gave it a 2.0, just like signing your name to the SATs. Like,
it's an automatic to give it.
Yeah. Not unless just... it's a really, like, it's unless been... they drop something bad in there, I'm going to, not probably going to go below a 2, but like, this was difficult.
Here's a question. Has Ryan been on in the last 4 episodes?
He was in the deposition.
For like 2 seconds just talking to Michael, though, right?
Yeah.
We haven't had any. I mean, he wasn't in Survivor. He was mentioned in Survivor Man. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in these 2 episodes. He just had a quick cameo in the deposition. But I don't even know the last time Ryan was a part of any storyline. Yeah, but like, Jan was always involved when she was there.
Jan was also a love interest.
Not all the time, though. Like, in season 1, like, I didn't know Jan was involved in season 1. She was in, like, most of those episodes.
There's only 6 episodes.
But still, Ryan, 4 episodes in a row, Ryan's, like, not even involved. Like, I just feel like if that's a character that you want to... I feel like they should just showcase him more. That's all. And because he's in the opening credits, why the fuck does he get an opening credit if he's not in the show? Like, Toby's been more of a... mainstay.
I have to say, when Michael was talking about like what he was looking for and how he needed to get laid, and they just showed that little snippet of Toby.
Toby like rolling his eyes. This is his fucking enemy.
That did tickle my funny bone.
But no, I don't mean to be negative. Like, I don't come into this wanting to be negative or wanting to hate this.
No,
I want to love what we do, because I do love what we do. I love coming out, hanging out with you, and shooting the shit about a show that we both generally like.
This was a difficult episode.
This sucked. I can't say it enough.
It was difficult. This was a hard one. And like,
that's what she said.
I love this show. I've not made that a secret at all.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where... I think the lines that we mentioned are what people reference.
Here's a question. Because you are the maven of the show. You are on the Facebook groups and all that.
I am. I love them.
How is this general... Like, when you read off last week, like, oh, we're going to be covering the chair model. What were your initial thoughts? And were they reinforced because you watched it more critically? Like, how is this one perceived by the general Office fandom?
I think it's more like... people create memes out of them, like, oh, the perfect girl doesn't exist, and then they put a picture of the chair model.
Uh-huh.
But the episode in of itself, meh.
Not highly thought of. I should go on IMDb and see how it's rated in comparison to others.
God.
I hope it's as low as we, because it wasn't good. But, like, you didn't have any, like, dread when you saw that it was on? Or
Honestly, I went, meh.
Meh.
Dinner party's there, so it'll be a fun week, but meh.
Like, when you think about it, like, I don't know if there's ever been, like, 1 week where you had such a disparity between
two
episodes.
No, usually I've been pretty even keel, but this one is...
Yeah, it's a mountain in a valley.
Whew.
It really is. Well, I got nothing else to add to that.
No, man. All right. I'm excited for next week, though.
Yeah, we got those episodes on 11 and 12 next week.
Yep.
And while you're waiting for the next episode... share the show around. Get, you know, ask your friends if they want to subscribe to the show, if they want to be listeners, if they're fans of The Office or just want to hear a sibling pair just bitch and moan and kvetch.
We do have our tangents.
Yeah, we didn't have any this week, unfortunately, because the first episode had so much going on and
so much.
I just wanted to get through the second episode. So like there was not a lot of banter this week. I'm really sorry, because usually I like getting off on those tangents if I have something to think about, but I didn't have anything to think about.
No.
So, share the cast around. See if people want to listen. We greatly appreciate that. Get in touch with us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast. Reach out to us on email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and getting back in touch with you, and we hope that you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoy producing it. And onward into 2020.
Yes. On to the new year.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you guys all so much again for all the support and love. We'll catch you on the next one.
Mm-hmm.